I assume we're somewhat recording.
Whenever you're ready.
Double titties. Ugh. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Free Table Gamers Podcast. I'm your host Colin here with Ashton.
Hey guys.
All right, I think we got one left over from last week and then a whole new slate for this week. Lego Mario Kart is announced.
LEGO has announced a new addition to its Mario Kart collection that first debuted last August, but don't expect LEGO's latest Super Mario set to fit in with the rest of the racers. At 12.5 inches long and 8.5 inches tall, this set, featuring Mario in his standard racing cart from the game, is LEGO's largest Mario Kart build to date. The set is available for pre-order now on LEGO's website for $170 with an expected ship date of May 15th, 2025. So you have to wait a couple months for it to cross the finish line. Featuring 1,972 pieces, the set also includes the largest buildable version of Mario that LEGO has ever created, with a detailed face and poseable head and arms. That was part of the Mario Day, the March 10th.
Yeah. That's a couple weeks old at this point. Oh, well. Still relevant because, you mean, you still pre-ordered until May 15th of this year. Then, of course, I guess then you can just go to Lego store. I'm not going to assume that Walmart's going to have it right off the bat.
Nah, probably anything like that. Not right away, I would assume.
But yeah, so if anyone's deciding to charge for over 170, don't go for the scalpers prices.
No. It would be cool, but it'd be too big. I think.
Yeah.
12.5 by 8.5.
Yeah. I mean, you got foot and half inch and 8.5 inches. Yeah, that'd be pretty decent size.
Yeah, you're not just going to fit that on a, I mean, yeah, you can fit it on a shelf, but not like those shelves behind me, that wouldn't fit very well.
If it was just by itself, it would.
Yeah, but I don't want to just have one thing on a shelf.
I get you a 24-inch shelf or something weird like that and get that and get your little piranha plant beside of it.
Piranha plant's in rough shape.
It's in rough shape?
Yeah.
Been broken down a couple times?
Yeah, four-year-old around don't last long.
I completely feel on that one.
I need to get glue and glue them together.
Yeah.
So he can't come apart.
Yeah, they do make it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's insane. We would have never thought that was a thing. Well, it wasn't a thing when we was kids, but still. It's a thing now, and it's still a weird concept to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's people that actually absolutely get into that type of stuff.
I remember, I don't know, it's like 15 years ago maybe, I had little Mario Kart sets from Mario and Luigi. They weren't made by Lego, but they were like Legos. You could build the carts and stuff, but they were just little, like
I don't know. Make a box, wasn't it?
No,
little.
They were, I think they're just off brand Legos, but they sold them at Walmart. I don't know what they were, but they weren't very long. It's like maybe at the most 4 inches long.
Yeah. Like I know right now, like Pokemon will be like more Mega Blocks than what they are Lego for the most part.
Yeah. Which they did announce a Lego set for Pokemon. Well, a teaser. It's not really announced yet, but the only thing they teased was Pikachu's tail made out of Legos.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Mattel blocks, you can get Pokemon sets for those right now. They've been making those for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody eventually collabs with that space.
Yeah. And Lego, out of Mattel and Lego, Lego's definitely the bigger name. So, you know, it'll benefit both Pokemon Company / Nintendo and Lego more than Mattel.
What they always go for.
Yep.
Sticking somewhat with Nintendo. Pocket Pair actually is shocked over the lawsuit reasoning.
All right. Nintendo's lawsuit alleging patent infringement in Power World was unexpected given the timing and subject matter, and nobody was more surprised than developer Pocket Pair, who says no one even considered patent issues after the game's cleared legal checks in Japan pre-release. Speaking at a game developers conference panel focusing on the hit survival game's explosive launch, post-launch troubles, and community strategy, Pocket Pair's communication director and publishing manager, John Buckey, discussed the hardships the team has faced before and after release. The game was falsely accused of AI-generating creature designs or outright ripping models from Pokemon games. Countless threats of violence were sent to the devs, and Nintendo filed a formal lawsuit against the company. And then old Buckey has a quote here. The last thing that happened that didn't feel very good is a little thing that happened in September. Buckley recalled, very tiny even, you probably haven't heard about it. A fellow in the company decided to come for us. 100% transparency here. This is an active lawsuit, so genuinely, I can't talk about it or I'll get wrapped up in the whole thing. But this has obviously came as a shock to us. I think it came as a shock to a lot of people because it's alleged patent infringement, which is something that no one even considered. And it's something that we're still hashing out, basically. Asked about the internal response to the lawsuit, Buckley added, it didn't feel good. Obviously, we were pretty vocal before Power World released and that we did legal checks before the game released and they were all cleared in Japan. So obviously, when the lawsuit was announced, we're all like, what? And when we went back to the lawyers, and the lawyers contacted the courts, and they said, what's going on? And that's when we discovered it was patents that they were going for. Says pretty much everyone at Pocket Pair is a fan, so pretty depressing day. A lot of people kind of head down walking home in the rain. Changed a lot of things for us. We were just about to release the PlayStation version when we were just about to go to the Tokyo Game Show. Obviously, we had to kind of scale back a bit and hire security guards and stuff like that. So, obviously, they were big Pokemon fans and stuff. And then it's kind of like a kick in the nuts, so to say, that, you know, that their hero or whatever are suing them.
Yeah. Don't ever meet your heroes, is what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've covered this a bunch on this podcast. If you're an old listener, you know this. If you're this is your first time listening, welcome, for one. But two, yeah, is this has been a nonstop repeat thing that we've constantly covered over the course of this whole development. But yeah, so it's weird that it passed the pre-release and, you know, basically a pre-check for that stuff. But
in like Japan. We said before,
yeah.
Where Nintendo's based as well.
Just so weird that they're able to patent how you throw something.
Yeah, a ball. How you throw a ball is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like I said, we've gone down these rabbit holes before in the past, the whole nine yards. But, you know, it's baseball season, so I'm going to do a little bit of comparison right there. That'd be like going after, like, MLB The Show or something because they're pitching.
Yeah. I was going to say 2K's next.
Yeah.
Or Madden.
Can't throw something. I mean,
that's can't throw a ball.
The mechanic you're going for.
Yeah.
Because in the Pokemon games, which I didn't play the Arceus ones, but I'm assuming it's still how you would throw a rock or something along those lines, a ball, like how you're
exactly
saying.
How it is. I mean, how you would think it is. You literally throw the Pokeball.
They
like
should
you
just
throw
go
a baseball, you know.
They should just go for a sidearm throw and just call it a day.
Behind the back,
yeah.
Between the legs, something.
Which I know we're in the world, and I'm sure Japan, obviously, it's close to how we are, but you can literally just look at somebody and, you know, sue them just by how they look.
Yeah.
Now, whether, of course, you want to pick it up or not is a whole different story.
But you can do it.
But you can sue over literally anything. I'm sure Japan sounds about the same way.
Yeah.
But I think Nintendo was being, you know, petty because they were going to release to Sony the whole nine yards on that, and you know, wind up doing a collab with Sony as well.
Right. I don't know. It's just, I like Nintendo, but sometimes stuff like his, I just ask why. And I understand you have an IP to protect. Pokemon, yes, it's a great game, franchise, whatever. But just let this little indie company thrive with what they have instead of trying to take it away from them. They've had success. Just leave it at that and let them do what they do.
And I've been working with them to just do better.
Yeah. If you're feeling threatened by this indie company, maybe you should make your games better. I know it's not all on Nintendo. It's Game Freak has a lot to do with the quality of the Pokemon games, and they're mostly to blame for the poor graphics and stuff. But because the Pokemon company is owned by three companies: Game Freak, Creatures, and Nintendo, and Game Freak has pretty much the final say on everything, including the graphics and stuff. So.
Yeah, it's not a technical first party Nintendo situation to an
Right.
extent.
Yeah, and
And
usually when it
it's considered a
comes
first
to
party title because it does release exclusively on Nintendo systems, but it's not like a Mario or a Zelda title.
legal things like suing over Pokemon, Nintendo usually takes it in their name because they are the bigger company and they'll win more lawsuits that way. So
But yeah, something just as simple as literally throwing mechanics
yeah,
is what
dumb.
Pocket Pair is getting raked through right now.
I mean, you can obviously tell some of the pals are inspired by some Pokemon, but inspired and then just completely ripped off and cloned are two different things.
Yeah, and you're going to get that if it's basically a fan game, which, I mean, granted, a fan game wound up doing better statistically than the Pokemon games ever done, because they released two titles at one time, and you don't have to buy both games to capture everything.
Right. And it's
Pokemon,
only
that's always, that's been their thing.
$30 or free on Game
Yeah.
Pass.
And that's been Pokemon's thing from the get-go, even in, you know, the original Red, Blue, and Yellow, is you had to have all three games to catch all 151 initially. In recent years, they've just been releasing two, but you still have to have both those games and trade with people still to catch every Pokemon there is on those
Yeah.
new titles. So you're buying at least two, in today's time, two 60, probably almost $70 games, because I'm sure the next Pokemon that come out is going to be $70,
Yeah,
since
probably.
that's the new trend now. So, but I'm going to keep it simple and say that, you know, like last year's Pokemon release that came out, because we're coming up on, you know, this new generation of Pokemon this year, in the next, what, 3, 4 months, it should be out
Should be.
if it's like normal. Well, no, because ZA is the next one that comes out, so it's going to be another Arceus title. Well,
Right,
that series.
yeah, Legend series, which is only a
I'm sure
one
they'll still
release
come
instead
out
of a
with.
two, but
Yeah.
still going to be $70, I would assume.
But still, become. They go back to normal and do the standard Pokemon games. You're going to have two games cost $60 a piece, $70 a piece. There you go. You got basically five times the amount of money you're putting into the name brand than what you are putting in the Power World.
And Power World's a better game
Yeah.
over the previous games. Like, I liked Arceus, but Power World is better because they do have that crafting mechanic, and they took what Arceus had and made it better. So hopefully, ZA learned a little bit from Power World and changed the game a little bit. And I know they won't add crafting, but just the other issues maybe they'll fix.
Or guns.
Yeah, or guns.
Both of those things.
I do
But
like
yeah,
the
I mean,
guns. It makes
they can.
farming oils and stuff quick. You can just go pop some pals in the head and take their oils and
Yeah.
makes it quicker.
It's nice. But yeah, Nintendo's got to. Well, I know, like we said, Nintendo don't technically have the say in that type of stuff. But still, the release in our console, Nintendo would be more strict with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, at the end of the day, it's hopefully this thing winds up in Pocket Pair's fame, because I don't know what judge is going to be like, okay, but it is such a big corporation going after something that's made quite a bit of money. So it is going to be a precedent, at least in Japan culture, for gaming developers.
Yeah, I'm yeah,
Which, I
I'm
mean, it'll
hoping it goes
carry over
on.
here because obviously Nintendo is based over here too.
Right. Yeah, I'm hoping that it goes in Power World's favor, but like I said, Nintendo being the big name they are, I don't know. Not putting too much hope into that.
I mean, Pocket Pair would run out of money first before Nintendo would.
Oh, definitely.
But at the same time, especially with Sony's potential help now and collaborations and stuff, they could technically step in and help, at least on financial aspect, because it don't matter where their money's come from to lawyers.
No. I'd say it, when it comes down to it, Nintendo's not trying to shut down the game. They're just trying to change some things about it. So if it all comes to the worst, Power World would just change the mechanics. The game won't go anywhere. It would just change.
Yeah, that's literally the only thing they have them on is literally just mechanics.
It's not like a Yuzu or a Raijin situation. They're not trying to shut it down. They're just trying to change some things.
I mean,
Maybe even having to change some PAL designs.
and they could have shut down if they wanted to an extent, because like that article said, you literally got everything checked except for just a random. Nintendo was
Throwing.
literally digging
Oh
for
yeah.
that.
I mean,
They
obviously,
was.
they at first they was trying to go for the clones and stuff of the PALs, and they were too different to. But then they'd like, oh, throw in this ball. We can get them on that.
Yeah. Because what this development broke through. I mean, obviously, we got this whole update of it being shocked, but still, it was a good solid almost 9, 10 months before Nintendo even found something that they
Yeah.
could sue over.
Did you know it's now possible to get federally legal THC shipped right to your door?
Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC right to your door.
And you can get 20% off your first order at mood.com/terrible3 and enter coupon code terrible3.
I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find in a dispensary you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door.
And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet.
Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code TERRIBLE3.
So head to mood.com/terrible3. Check out their online dispensary and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use coupon code TERRIBLE3 when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Yeah.
So that was literally digging the whole time, trying to be like, what can we do? What can we do? How are we going to sue this?
Yeah. So is it safe to say that we'll never see Power World on a Nintendo console?
I mean, technically, they do have a Pocket Pair game on their console,
They do, but not Power World.
which I find, still ironic in a way, because I'm just like, why would they? I mean, I know they get some money from the sales, and Pocket Bear gets some money from the sales, but you're still collaborating to an extent.
It would be beneficial for both companies if Power World did release on Nintendo consoles because of all the Pokemon fans, they
Yeah.
would. And at least Nintendo gets commission off of those games on the eShop, so why not? Other than you're suing them, but
That's more or less just flexing that way. They know. I was saying they're doing that for more on like the American side of it, because if it passes in Japan, if anybody tries it over here, because that'll be how it starts at first. Be like, oh, if it gets to 9 in Japan, then somebody from over here can be like, okay, I want to design a game that's kind of like Power World slash Pokemon, whatever it is, put our own little spin on it. And then, or even bring back like a Digimon, because I think way back in the day, Pokemon tried to sue Digimon too, didn't they?
I think so.
That would be something to do. Which at that point, Ark would come after you because that's more dinosaur based.
Yeah. And to be
But yeah.
fair, if anybody was that would have a right to sue, it would be Ark. Because there's more, I mean, there's Pokemon mechanics in it, yeah, but there's definitely a lot more Ark mechanic than there is Pokemon because of just how the crafting system's set up and how the even the menu for crafting is very similar to the menu in Ark.
It's, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I know Nintendo was literally just grabbing for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's down to just the mechanics of how an average person would throw something anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, you can give a ball to your top, you know, your kid, and then they would throw the ball pretty similar to how you would throw a ball in a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
That's just natural how it goes.
That's how a human throws anything.
Yeah, I'm like, you might get the weird anomaly where a kid underhands it first or sidearms it, but for the most part, people throw an overhand because it's going to go further that way.
Yeah.
All right. Yet again, didn't try to go down a rabbit hole on that one, but it never fails when we talk about that lawsuit.
Yeah, it's just stupid.
God of War TV show writer reveals Amazon has already ordered 2 seasons of God of War TV.
Yep, Amazon's upcoming God of War series is still in the pipeline after everyone previously making it quit last year, which if you've been big into weirdly decent era of prestige TV and animation coming out of video games recently, that guy's just running his mouth. The series intended to be a retelling of the 2018 game story seems a no-brainer for some glossy prestige television. You've got 2 mythologies to draw from and an already solid script in a video game itself to work with and expand on. However, the series' new showrunner, Ron Moore, has kicked off a flurry of skepticism during a recent interview with Katie Sackhoff by confessing that he's not a gamer. In fact, he doesn't know anything about the controllers. Right now, I'm working on an adaptation of there's a video game called God of War. It's a big title in the gaming world that Amazon has ordered 2 seasons of, and that's my new thing, he said. And then when Sackhoff points out that it's a daunting property, Moore replies, yeah, I'm not a gamer, so it's more like I've never done this before. When asked if he's tried to play God of War, he adds, I've tried. I mean, I'm not a gamer. I took a stab at it, but I grew up in the arcade era where you go down and put your quarters in and bang on the buttons. I can do that. I'll play Defender or Asteroids. Sure, bring it on. But the controllers now press R1. Which one's R1? Oh, I'm dead. So, I mean, I guess that's fine if he's a good director or whatever, but to me, it's important to have, if you're going to make a game or a TV show based off a game, it's important to have a person that knows the game, has played the game, and is good at the game. Like The Last of Us showrunners, they are huge gamers. They played the game, and the series was good. But here, I mean, yeah, it's easy to, I guess, get a script from Sony or whatever and say, okay, make it like this. But at the same time, I think it'd be better if he was a gamer. That way he could add a little extra to it if he wanted to, not just base it off of a script. I don't know.
Well, yeah, because you can go off the script of beaten path because, you know, especially if it's based on 2018 and, you know, Ragnarok style of games where it's open world. Mm-hmm. And you can do all the exploring you want, so therefore you can literally throw Easter eggs in there for people that's literally gone through and done different areas in the game 100% of it or whatever. And in this situation, you don't get that. You get the base storyline, hey, this is what happened in the game, base your, you know, critical skills off of that. A video game in, you know, 40 years at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me it's just that makes absolutely no sense for it, because especially when it comes down to critically acclaimed TV shows and movies, you gotta have that stuff. Usually, I think this is the portion where people did a whole video game TV adaptation and it flops or fails completely.
Right.
I didn't do my research, but I believe that's this probably close to the same situation of what the Borderlands people were in, or they never played a Borderlands game before in their life.
They were just going off a script.
Going off
from
a script.
2K, and that's what happens. You just, it's trash.
Yeah.
And
literally the last, like The Last of Us, you could tell that they played their games. You could tell that they done X, Y, Z for it to happen because they threw Easter eggs in there that I completely have forgot about.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, okay. When I hear this, I'm just like, this show is going to suck. I'll be surprised if it's any good. And the fact that it's already got greenlit for 2 seasons is kind of worrisome. But 2 seasons would make sense because 2018 and Ragnarok.
Right. And there is no reason that this series should suck. The games have such great stories. If it sucks, it's obviously the director's fault because there is no reason for him to suck. Especially Sony being the story, most of their games are story-based, not even action-based anymore. So there is no reason for him to suck because they have so much lore and story in them.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to... I would think it's hard to mess up the God of War series, especially since they have different mythologies to actually choose from, too. It's not like they just have this one plain Jane thing, which, I mean, I guess they could technically go back to the beginning and do Greek mythology, because that would probably hit with more of an audience, especially over this way. You get, because at least you get taught Greek mythology somewhat in school, and you don't get taught so much Norse or right. Egyptian mythology over here.
It'd be better off starting just where the series started, like you said, back on the PS2. In the Greek mythology, tell the story of him, of his wife and his daughter, and what happened to him, why he is the way he is. And then, in like season 3 or 4, then go to the 2018 and tell his new story with his new son, and then switch to the Norse there. But
yeah, because in God of War 2018, you don't get that technical backstory of how he became, how he was.
Yeah, you don't know anything about him.
Yeah. They're going to assume that you played the initial titles back in the day.
Yeah.
Because technically you were, whenever God of War 2018 came out, if you was born in the year that, you know, the first one came out, you would be almost old enough to legally play that game in the first place.
Yeah.
In a technical standpoint. Of course, I know not everyone.
Just came out in 2005?
You hesitate to sell him, but. Yeah, it came out in 2005.
Yeah.
So you've been 13 whenever God of War 2018 would come out. So I guess technically not, you know, a full-fledged adult. I was thinking 02 for whatever reason, but I definitely think it's 05 because, yeah, it's 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, you could have watched your parents play it or anything, like to know some of the lore. Or some kids I'm sure have played it, but...
I'm sure. I mean, I know all of the kids have played it.
Yeah.
The original, not obviously 2018.
Yeah.
I was definitely an adult at that one.
Yeah.
I was 20 when that game came out.
2018 is already 7 years ago.
Don't remind me. Try to knock out one more, but... Ragnarok gets a 20th anniversary patch, hence that's why I wanted to cover this one.
Yeah. God of War Ragnarok Update 6.02 is now available, expanding the game with a variety of cosmetics and one new feature. This is the second God of War Ragnarok patch to debut in 2025. The latest entry in Sony Santa Monica's long-running franchise was released for PlayStation consoles in November 2022, before making its way to PC in September 2024. The game has received 17 patches since first hitting the market, with one of the most recent of the lot being God of War Ragnarok 6.01, which rolled out back in January 2025. Another patch has now materialized on March 20th, arriving just 2 days ahead of the God of War series 20th anniversary. 6.02 introduces a variety of cosmetics inspired by older entries in the franchise, all with the goal of commemorating the upcoming Jubilee. The new items arrive in the form of Dark Odyssey Collection, which features black and gold armor for Kratos, including a breastplate, belt, and a pair of braces. Freya and Atreus have also received matching outfits as part of the newly debuted patch. Besides armor, the Dark Odyssey Collection includes a gold and black skins for Kratos' weapons, specifically the Leviathan Axe. I don't know how to say that exactly, but... And then the Blades of Chaos. Yeah. Blades of Chaos and Dropner Spear. Several weapon attachments like the Axe Knob have also received alternate looks as part of the 6.0 update. Half a dozen shields and the Rond attachment were given the Dark Odyssey treatment as well. In order to unlock these God of War 2 inspired cosmetics, players will need to complete God of War Ragnarok on the God mode difficulty. Doing so will require learning pretty much all the enemy's moves, as the game's highest difficulty level features tight pairing windows while simultaneously insisting on players deflecting most damage due to how hard everything hits. Another challenge in tackling this difficulty is the lack of checkpoints during boss fights, forcing players to defeat the game's toughest foe without making any major mistakes. The Dark Odyssey Collection appearances are reserved for the ultimate versions of supported weapons, shields, armors, and attachments, requiring God of War Ragnarok players to fully upgrade any piece of equipment they want to customize. 6.02 update also introduces an edit appearance feature for weapon and shield attachments. This addition is essentially a transmog system, allowing players to mix and match between different equipment, visuals, and functionalities. The March 2025 patch was released simultaneously on the PS4, PS5, and PC. So, basically, the Dark Odyssey Collection. I seen pictures of it. It looks pretty cool. Kratos looks pretty cool. And but God mode difficulty, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's basically master mode, but for adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I figured they would do something for the 20th anniversary. Surprised they didn't do a, you know, release or a shadow drop of the original trilogy.
That was rumored, so.
Yeah. Or more news over to where it's, the series is going, which I guess technically it is a little too soon with where the direction it's taken, because it has only been in development for... No, because it's been in development for 3 years now if they started right after Ragnarok came out.
Yeah.
And but I know there was only a 4-year gap from 18 to Ragnarok, but there was a, 8-year gap? Because it was 2010 when God of War 3 came out. Or 2011.
Yeah.
It was one of those two.
For PS3.
But yeah, it's the Leviathan Axe. That's what I almost named Bentley.
Oh, yeah?
His first name was almost Leviathan. Not because of the axe, but just in general.
Should have been because of the axe.
Should have been. I still got I got his initials for BFG, so I got a Doom reference in there.
BFG. Big Friendly Giant.
Yeah. Big Friendly Giant.
Giant. Oh, nice.
But that is all the time we have for today, guys. Thank you for watching and listening. Follow all our socials on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Got merch on Redbubble and TeePublic. I think that's it.
Yep.
All right. Later, guys.
Catch you guys next week.